Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would move in our hearts to be more thankful for the gospel than we've ever been before as a result of the message of the gospel through the music that we have just sung and through the message of the gospel that we're going to hear from your word. For those that have not given themselves over to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted in this glorious gospel, this love story, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. And for those who have, Lord, I pray that they would see that their life and their ministry is to be centered forever on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us with this endeavor, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you like going down memory lane? Probably only when memory lane is happy, right? And I want to take you on a trip down memory lane that is a happy trip. In the spring of 1962, Dick and Linda Lapp and their daughter Karen moved to 0 South 558 East Street in Winfield, Illinois. And at that time, when they moved, there was only three churches in Winfield, Illinois. There was a Catholic church, a Lutheran church, and a United Methodist church. And Dick and Linda felt there needed to be a Baptist church in this community, and so they looked into starting one. At the time, 85% of the people who were living in Winfield, Illinois, were Roman Catholic. And so what Dick and Linda Lapp did was they contacted Reverend Walter Warfield. He was a state representative with the Illinois-Missouri Association of Regular Baptist Churches. And they inquired with him about how to get a Baptist church started in Winfield, Illinois. And with the state rep's encouragement, the Lapps started to host a weekly Bible study and prayer meetings in the house you're looking at here on the screen, the house on East Street. And during those moments, they were seeking, as a small group of believers, the Lord's guidance in establishing a church for fellowship with those who shared in this interest. They were not alone. Reverend Jesse, also known as Tex Warnken, and his wife, they were missionaries of the Central African Republic. They were home on furlough living in Wheaton, Illinois, and they became involved with the Lapps in this endeavor. And with these two families, Faith Baptist Church began on Saturday, December 28th, 1963, when Reverend and Mrs. Calvin Schrott, Reverend Walter Warfield, met at the home of Reverend Jesse Warnken, along with Mr. Dick Lapp, along with a committee of pastors who were also interested in the establishment of a new Baptist church in Winfield, Illinois. The men that served on that committee that met that night were Reverend Harry Babcock, Reverend Norbert Darr, Reverend Charles McKinney, and Reverend R. Myers. On January 31st, 1964, a call was extended to Reverend Calvin Schrott to assume the office of pastor. He accepted, and Reverend Walter Warfield, Reverend Jesse Warnken, along with Mr. Dick Lapp, they began to search for a house that would be suitable. They would have a double purpose. It'd be a parsonage for the pastor and a temporary meeting place for the church. And a home was purchased on 26 West 286 Jewell Road in Winfield, Illinois on February 22nd. The church parsonage was occupied by the Schrotts. The date of our incorporation was February 27th, 1964. Dave Gower came across this very document here recently and some of his searches, and it's very, very special to have the date that our church was officially incorporated. On March 8th, Sunday school morning and evening services were begun. And on October 2nd, the church charter was opened and the constitution was adopted on October 21st, 1964. A church recognition council and service was held on November 16th with several regular Baptist churches represented from the ILMO Association. Since our inception as a church, Faith Baptist has been a part of the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches, as well as the Illinois-Missouri Association of Regular Baptist Churches. In 1965, Sunday school, morning, and evening services were held in the Winfield Elementary School Gymnasium. In 1966, they moved to the Women's Auxiliary Building of Central DuPage Hospital, and then they moved back to the Winfield Elementary School Gym in 1967, and they remained there until October of 1970, when Faith Baptist Church was able to purchase, at that time, the former Lutheran Church Building, 27 West 631 Beecher Avenue, Winfield, Illinois. By February 25th, 1973, God had blessed Faith Baptist Church with 55 members, and they had over 100 people approximately in attendance during their worship services. They were outgrowing their facilities that they had purchased on Beecher Avenue, and the Lord enabled them to purchase the prime land on 27 West 010 Parkway Drive, Winfield, Illinois. They broke ground on this land in August of 1974. And Willa, is your heart going pitter-patter looking at your husband there with that shovel? He's kind of a good-looking guy. Do you agree? After all that hard work, it was complete. I show this picture here circled. That's someone else that's in our midst. It's a young hunk way back in 1974, Mr. Ron Pills. You recognize yourself? You had a lot more hair back then. And I think, Charlene, you're in here. Willa's in here. And some of our others that are here, you may be able to identify yourself or some of your relatives in this. But hard work definitely paid off. And this was the first property facility here on Parkway Drive. God continued to bless Faith Baptist Church. On September 3rd, 1978, they broke ground to add on to this building. We now know those parts of that building at that time as our library, part of our fellowship hall, our toddler and nursery classroom area, and more hard work. And this is the result, an addition. In the mid-80s, they were able to purchase what we call the Annex Building, and they use it for ministry purposes. It's being used for ministry right now for a church from Nepal that is able to meet there and worship God with other Nepali people. In September of 1990, Faith Baptist Church broke ground a third time, and the land was prepared and construction began for a new worship center, office complexes, Sunday school classrooms, addition to the fellowship hall, and today we enjoy these facilities. On September 29th, 1991, they held their first worship service in what was new to them and now normal for us, this auditorium. Like I said last week, I love history. And it did my heart well to go and do an extensive study this week on the history of Faith Baptist Church. It's really, really good for us to go down memory lane. And I tell you, I consider it a privilege to share this marvelous history with you this morning. I consider it a privilege to be a part of the heritage here at Faith Baptist Church, and I hope you do as well. Obviously, like any church, we've had our low points. We've had our high moments. We've had our twists. We've had our turns. But there's one thing through all of it that's always remained, and it's this. Our God has been, still is, and forever will be faithful. Do you believe that, church? He is faithful. And in his faithfulness, he has entrusted with us so, so much. And I think it's important for us to ask ourselves, what does he want from us? He's been faithful to us. What does he want from us? Does he want us to be the brightest, highest educated people in Winfield, Illinois? Does he want us to be the most creative and ingenious people in Winfield? Does he want us to be the best looking and the most trendy people in all of Winfield? Is that really what he wants from us? Well, God gives us answers on what he wants from us. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, God requires for his servant stewards to be trustworthy. That's what he wants from us. He requires us to be consistently obedient to his word, to be unwavering in our commitment to be faithful. That's what he wants from us. And in that verse, stewards, you can define as one who's been entrusted with the responsibility to manage something. C.S. Lewis wrote many, many classics. One of my favorites is Mere Christianity. And in that book, he said, every faculty you have, your power of thinking or of moving your limbs from moment to moment, it's given you by God. If you devoted every moment of your whole life exclusively to his service, you could not give him anything that was not, in a sense, his own already. I don't have what I'm going to share with you in your notes, so this is all free for you today, all right? I wish I could expound on this more, but when we're thinking about this idea of being a faithful steward, there's four biblical principles concerning stewardship. So you can jot these down maybe on the back of your notes or something. But the first one is the principle of ownership. In Psalm 24:1, it teaches us very clearly that everything you and I have does not belong to us. It belongs to God. He owns everything. We own nothing in the grand scheme of things. Principle of ownership. Secondly, there's a principle of responsibility. Matthew 25 is Christ's parable of the talents. And you simply read through that parable, that teaching of Christ, and you see we're simply serving as managers of everything that he, the master, has entrusted to us. We're responsible for how we treat what he's given us. We're responsible with what we do with what he's given us. And as you read the parable of the talents, you will see that you and I have the opportunity to either increase or waste all that the master has given us. So you got the principle of responsibility. Thirdly, you have the principle of accountability. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 9 and 10 teaches that God's appointed for each of us. Every single one of us one day will be called before God to give an account of how we have managed what he's given to us. And when I think of the recent passing of Betty's sister and Kristen's grandma, we had Friends of Faith Baptist have a funeral for their mom here yesterday. All these funerals remind us God can call any one of us into account at any time. There's this principle of accountability. And lastly, there's the principle of a reward. Colossians 3 says, whatever you do, work heartily as to the Lord, not for men, knowing that you'll from the Lord receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And as you go back to that parable of the talents, Jesus gets to the point where the master says to his faithful stewards, well done, good and what? Faithful. You have been faithful with what I've entrusted you. Enter into the joy of your master. And the teaching there is, hey, if we're faithful stewards with what God gives us, we'll be rewarded, maybe not in this life, definitely forever in the kingdom of heaven. So you get the principle of reward. And should the Lord tarry, Thanksgiving is just around the corner for us. And I think it's good for us to spend a few weeks as a church and to be giving thanks to God together for his faithfulness to us on so many levels. And so we want to take time to do that here, moving towards Thanksgiving. But beyond Thanksgiving, you know what's coming. If the Lord tarries just around Thanksgiving's a new year. And so I think it's important for us to take a few weeks and to evaluate our faithfulness to him. It's good for us to closely examine our walk. to ask ourselves this year, how have we really been doing at walking in a manner worthy of the calling to which we've been called? And as we carefully examine here for a few weeks and evaluate, it's good for us during this time to prayerfully consider, what commitments does God want me and you to make as we move forward in these upcoming years? We've marveled this morning at our church's history. And what we often don't think about during these last almost 55 years, those who have gone before us, they made commitments. They made commitments for the glory of God, but for the good of those who came behind them. That's you and me today. They made commitments to be faithful, specifically to the gospel. Just think about this. In that home on East Street, for every Bible study and for every prayer meeting, in that home on Jewel Road, for every Sunday morning worship, evening service, every prayer meeting, the groups that lived in those homes cleaned up their living space, set up all kinds of tables and chairs so that people could come and hear about the gospel. It took work. It took commitment. And they did it every week for 3 years. Would that get annoying to you? I got to clean up my... The whole church is coming over for worship. Pick up your toys, kids. They did that, committed to the gospel for 3 years. You can imagine the excitement of outgrowing those homes. So many people were trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ that they couldn't contain them all in a home. And so they looked for facilities like the Women's Auxiliary Building or the Winfield School Gymnasium. And wow, look at all this space. But you know, when you go into spaces like those, someone else has left a mess. And for every week, they cleaned up someone else's mess, set up for worship, set up for prayer, took it all down so it'd be great and nice to use for whoever followed them, and they did that for 5 years, a commitment to further the gospel in Winfield, Illinois. And so you can imagine the excitement of outgrowing so much to where, hey, let's get our own place. And they find this place on Beecher Avenue. And they go there. And they no longer have to rent, if that's what they did. They no longer had to set up or take down. They had their own place, but the Lord blessed so much that this now facility doesn't host enough for us here. We need to look for bigger place for us to worship and grow and further the gospel. And God provided Parkway Drive for them. And I just imagine, while I was going down this memory lane, the excitement of that first service in the new building on this property. Can you imagine that? Wouldn't it be fun to have been able to peek into that? Can you imagine the excitement of the first soul saved in the church here on Parkway Drive? The first baptism. Wouldn't that be exciting? I mean, we love baptism here. We get excited about it. Can you imagine their very first one here on Parkway Drive? And then the bigger classrooms, the bigger fellowship area. It's exciting. And then the excitement of having the first service here in September of 1991. Can you imagine the excitement about that? All this hard work, celebrating God's faithfulness. They did whatever it took. My whole point with this scenario here, whatever it took, they were committed to the proclamation of the gospel. They were committed to lifting up the good news of Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were committed to giving out this message and saying this is a free gift. It's salvation. It's available to all who believe in Jesus Christ. They did whatever it took to get that message out. They were committed to establish a Baptist church here in Winfield, Illinois. And for 55 years almost, December's around the corner, Faith Baptist has strived to be a church who's friendly with a welcoming atmosphere. Since I've been here, if that's one thing that's said to me the most in my coffee shop visits, et cetera, oh, that's a friendly church. And I'm thankful to hear that, and I hope we maintain that reputation. We've been a church that's been committed to strive to teach and preach solid doctrine. We've been a church that's growing, and we're committed to the gospel. And I say we have a wonderful heritage. Would you agree? God's richly blessed us. He's entrusted us with so much. And I think that's one reason why we need to take some time here this year, these few weeks, and commit ourselves as a church to be faithful for the glory of God and for the good of those who follow us here at Faith. So with the time remaining I have, I'd like to have you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you're using a Bible that's underneath the seat in front of you, you can find this chapter on page 1012. Before we dig into the text we're going to look at this morning, I just want you to just stop now and just reflect. We've reflected on the history of faith. Now you reflect on yourself as an individual. Just think back to your last week. Reflect on your desires this last week. Your excitements. What passioned you? Reflect on the conversations you carried this last week. Reflect on the actual words that you said, the emails that you typed up and sent. Reflect this last week on what you posted on your social media accounts, your Instagrams, your Facebook, your Twitter, whatever you use. Reflect on all of that. And as you're thinking about it, my question for you is, how faithful in all of that were you to the proclamation of the gospel? In the way you lived your life this last week? In the way you served in your ministries this last week? And I ask you that question because I want to draw out from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 through chapter 2, verse 5, three byproducts of being found faithful to the gospel. God wants us to be faithful to the gospel. And here's what he promises us when we are. First of all, faithfulness to the gospel keeps us united. Follow along with me as I read verses 10 and 11. Paul wrote to the church here in Corinth, and he said, "I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it's been reported to me by Chloe's people that there's quarreling among you, my brothers." So as we pause here, we see very quickly this church, it was divided. This group of believers, unfortunately, was making it all about their individual lives, their individual ministries, themselves, instead of Jesus Christ in the proclamation of the gospel. Verse 12, each one of them said, "I follow Paul," or "I follow Apollos," "well, I follow Cephas." Some even said, "Well, I'm more spiritual than all of you, because I follow Christ." Clearly, just in these first three verses, we see they were not a church that was continuing to strive to be growing and committed to the gospel. Paul asks some heart-probing questions here in verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? In simple terms, he was basically asking this question. Brothers and sisters, where's Jesus in all your bickering? Where's your faithfulness to the gospel in all of this? And he exclaimed, verses 14, 15, and 16, he says, "I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. And in this very next verse, he practically debunks this whole idea of baptismal regeneration, this idea that you have to be baptized in order to also be saved. Look at what he said in verse 17. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the what? The gospel. And not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Friends, by no means was Paul remotely trying to minimize baptism. He fully knew the commission from Jesus Christ, where baptism is a part of Christ's commission to his disciples. And you see here that if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have trusted in him as your Lord and Savior, he wants you to be obedient and follow in believers' baptism. So if there's anyone here who's not been baptized, I'd encourage you to obey the Lord, be baptized. And you can talk to me about that sometime this week, and we'll work with you and get that set up. This church was divided that Paul was writing to. And in no way am I saying, hey, look at Corinthian church here. Look how divided they are, and look how great we are. All right? That's not what I've been intending to do here. Because many of you who have been around for the 55 years, you know painfully this church has not been perfectly united for all those 55 years. In fact, newsflash, no church can say they've been perfectly united for their entire existence. But the gospel is the power that keeps us united. And what I'm thankful when I read the history, the legacy of Faith Baptist Church, is I see through pictures and through writings, this group of believers, they were united in striving to be a church that was growing and committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Loved ones, I think the lesson for us in verses 10 through 17 is this. When you and I are faithful to the gospel, when we make our lives, our ministries, about Jesus Christ instead of ourselves, when we make him the center of everything we do in our life and in our church and not about our preferences, when we focus on the cross instead of our practices, our traditions, etc., when we follow his hand in leading us instead of using our hands to force us down a path, when all that is taking place, the byproduct will be God will keep us united. Faithfulness to the gospel keeps us united as well as, secondly, keeps us humble. Paul wrote to a church, obviously it was divided, but you see here it was full of pride. Just back to verse 12. Let me flesh this out for you. Someone says, I am better than you because I follow Paul, and he's the greatest apostle of them all. And then someone else says, no way. I'm better than you because I follow the evangelist Apollos, and Apollos can out-preach Paul any day and twice on Sunday. And then someone else comes along and like, I'm better than both of you because I follow Peter. He was the leader of the disciples. He was the closest to Jesus. He blows both Paul and Apollos out of the Mediterranean. And then someone comes along and says, I'm better than all of you all because I follow Christ. Check, please. We're done. That's what's going on. That's the pride that was going on here in this church. And Paul enters this heated dispute, and he says these words in verses 18 through 25. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it's written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where's the one who is wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. What he points out to these who were full of pride and bickering with one another is that a proud heart and the word of the cross don't mix. They don't mix. And in Corinth, AD 55 or thereabouts, when Paul wrote this letter, in Winfield on December 28, 1963, and in Winfield on October 14, 2018, verse 18, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. It is sad that the world laughs at what we believe. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God and God the Son, was conceived by the Holy Spirit in a miraculous manner and born of the Virgin Mary as no other man was ever born or can be born of woman. He's God in the flesh. He honored the divine law by his personal obedience, lived a life of absolute sinlessness, and in his death made a full and vicarious atonement of our sins, dying not as a martyr, but as a voluntary substitute in the sinner's place, the just for the unjust, Christ the Lord, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. He arose from the dead on the third day and ascended bodily into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of the Father as our all-sufficient Savior and faithful High Priest, offering help and mercy to the church in their time of need. We believe the true mission of the church is the faithful witnessing of Christ to all men as we have opportunity. We believe that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the only condition of salvation. He's coming again to rapture his saints and to set up the throne of David and establish his kingdom on the earth. That's what we believe. And in verse 18, Paul said, those who are perishing, they hear all this, they read it, and they say, madness. What kind of stupid idiots would believe such a thing? And that's exactly how God intentionally planned for it to be. And the reason is because verse 18, the word of the cross keeps us humble. It leaves us no room for us as a church to go around and toot our horns and say, woo, we're in Winfield and we hold to the fundamentals of the faith. That's arrogant. That's boastful. The word of the cross keeps us humble. Look what Paul goes on and says in verses 26, 27, 28, and 29. He says, consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what's foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what's low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And you may read these verses and be thinking, well, who exactly is Paul talking about? He's talking about the very person that you saw in the mirror when you were getting ready this morning. Same for me. He's talking about us. It's kind of humbling, isn't it? Personally, I think it's great that in our almost 55 years of recorded history, there's not one celebrity pastor that's been a part of Faith Baptist Church, myself included. I love that. God has blessed Faith Baptist with various individuals who have been exceptionally smart, Various individuals who are extremely talented and gifted. Various individuals who have made some significant accomplishments in life, and that's great. Praise the Lord. But when you put us all together into one body, you want to know what it is? An ordinary group of believers. A group of believers who all know that we fall short of the glory of God. We're sinners. But we're thankful for the gospel. And we believe that the great gospel blessing which Christ secures for us who believe in Him is justification. That justification includes the pardon of sin and the gift of eternal life on principles of righteousness, that it's bestowed not in consideration of any works of righteousness which we have done, but solely through faith in the Redeemer's blood. His righteousness is imputed to us, which is why Paul says in verse 30, because of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. What I find here in this first chapter is this admonition from God, that when we as a church come to this place for worship each and every week, it is never to be about us. It is always to be about our crucified and risen Savior. He is the only one who is worthy of our worship, worthy of our praise, worthy of our service. What I really think Paul is trying to drive home in this first chapter is this: there's no place for pride. And there's no time for boasting when the church is relentlessly striving to be faithful to the proclamation of the gospel. That's how it was 55 years ago for those people. That's how God wants it to be in 2018 for Faith Baptist Church. Faithfulness to the gospel, it keeps us united, it keeps us humble. Lastly, it keeps us focused. Look at verses 1 through 5 of chapter 2. Paul goes on and says, and I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. My speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul is saying, when I was in your presence, I didn't get caught up in all that bickering that you were doing, because I was focused. I had a gospel-centered focus. I decided to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Friends, I think that's the very reason Faith Baptist Church has strived to be a church that is growing and committed to the gospel. It's the very reason that we've strived to be a church that supports and sends missionaries around the world. And by God's grace, we've been able to support a wide variety of home-based missionaries, church planters, and missionaries to countries like Portugal, Ukraine, Italy, Africa, Brazil, Turkey, Philippines, Romania, Costa Rica, Bangladesh, France, etc., etc., etc. All glory goes to God. Amen, church. And while all that was happening in our legacy here, our history, there was a whole bunch of stuff happening in this city, and a whole bunch of stuff happening in this state, and a whole bunch of stuff happening in this country, and a whole bunch of stuff happening in this world. You take your brain and go back 55 years and think about all the things that happened, and every thing that you come up with, we would have an unending, exhaustive list. And everything on that list is something that could have distracted Faith Baptist Church from keeping the main thing, the gospel, the main thing. This church could have got caught up saying, this president said that, this president did this. This war, that war, this social injustice, that social injustice, this cultural issue, that cultural issue. Do you see how distracting the world was around them? And that group of believers says, we're going to keep the main thing, and not deviate. We're going to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And God wants us to remain focused on that gospel. Say this verse with me, church. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the main thing. And we got to keep the main thing, the main thing. Amen? We must continue in that endeavor. I personally hope you're able to leave here this morning more thankful for the legacy that God has entrusted to you here at Faith than you've ever been before. I hope you're so grateful for the men and women of faith who not only proclaimed the gospel with their mouths, but they lived it out with their hands and their feet. But even more, I hope you're able to walk out of here more thankful for the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ than you've ever been before. And if there's never a time that you can come up in your memory and recall where you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, friend, Jesus is extending His loving arms to you through the gospel, and He's calling you to come and trust in Him. Put your faith in Christ. Your life will never be the same. It will impact you forevermore. Greatest decision you can ever make. And if you need help with that decision, we're here after this service to help you with that. Glad to do so. For those of you who have trusted in Christ, I end with the same questions I began with. How faithful to the gospel are you in the life you're currently living, in the ministries where you're currently serving? You see, friends, the way that you and I are living and serving, it loudly proclaims through our mouth, through our hands, through our feet, a message about what we think in regards to the gospel. And I personally think we need to be more fired up about the gospel of Jesus Christ than Starbucks is fired up about selling cups of coffee. Would you agree? Every single ministry here in Faith Baptist Church is necessary for the proclamation of the gospel. Every single one. Whether you're a greeter, whether you're a nursery worker, whether you're on the building and grounds crew, and every other ministry. Just name a few. We all have the opportunity and the responsibility to love and serve in such a way where they hear and they see in us the gospel. Everything about you and about me as individuals, and everything about us as Faith Baptist Church, it should loudly proclaim to a world that is perishing that Jesus Christ is worthy of our best. So may God, by His grace, keep us united, keep us humble, and keep us focused. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the gospel. We would be lost and a part of the world who is perishing, headed to a place where we would be forever separated from You. Your grace is amazing. Thank You for loving us in the most infinite way by giving up Your Son to take our sins upon Himself to pay them in full. We're grateful that you accepted his payment and that through his blood, you accept us. Lord, help us to make our life, our ministry here at Faith, all about the gospel, all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep us united, humble, and focused, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.